unto God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Amen. Told you last Sunday, some put their faith in horses and chariots, things of fine silk, linen and gold. So ridiculous. Amen.
Amen.
I know you weren't expecting to see me up here this morning, but I appreciate Brother McGill allowing me to do this once more so that I can continue on. And so if you are disappointed, don't worry about it. God's going to get the glory anyway. Amen. Man, he's coming back. He's coming back. Amen. Marjorie and I will be out during the month of March, most of the month, so we wanted to go ahead and get these in while I had the opportunity. Amen.
Amen.
And so we worked it out. And especially I wanted to keep going with the genre of the Psalms, and we come to Psalm 9 this morning. Amen. We want to welcome those who are visiting with us and say you are indeed our honored guest.
Yes.
And we don't take your visit lightly. Because if you came here, we know that God sent you this way to be a blessing unto us. So we ask that you will just allow us to bless you as you bless us. Amen?
Amen.
If you got your Bible and you say amen like you understand, I'll do my best to be short. Psalms 9, if you have it, we'll read verses 1 through 5. If you dare say amen.
Amen.
The psalmist David says, I will praise thee, O God, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Lord Most High. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou settest in the throne of judgment right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. I'm going to sing my song. Y'all got time?
Yes.
Have you ever wondered why babies cry when they enter into the world? The obvious answer is that they have been smacked on the behind. Amen?
Amen.
But in a greater sense, babies cry is a shout of exclamation saying, I'm here. Praise the Lord. We don't hear that. All we hear is crying. However, I suspect that the angels in heaven say, Hallelujah. Even babies or sucklings give praise to God in their own way. Y'all got time? And at birth, the suckling know that it should shout. But beyond the carnal cravings of food and water, it does not know why, but to a great deal, babies are teaching us and children that we should praise God. Not only that, it teaches us how to praise God and how to give God the glory. Today there are millions of adults who believe in God and praise God. The first notion of God is taught to us in our homes when we are young. If you came from a Christian home, you know that God had a significance to us. And we went to Sunday school, even if we didn't want to go. Amen. In many ways, that's where children learn their truth from. They're supposed to learn it from their parents, and their parents are supposed to pass on what they have learned. Somebody say amen. I know my grandmother taught me all those crazy sayings that she had, and sometimes they had some biblical stuff riddled in there and some theology that I didn't quite understand, but she was still teaching me that you need to trust in the Lord. Amen, if you can. And as Christian, we began to know the Lord when we were young, and as we mature, we ought to increase in our knowledge about God. But not only are we to increase in our knowledge, we ought to increase in our praise. You see, God shouldn't do things for you and you don't give God any of the glory or any of the praise. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Although scholars have never been able to dogmatize the meaning of the word Mot-Leben, is generally agreed that is dealing with the death of the champion's son. This psalm is not only about David, but it's also about Christ. That's up there in your heading right there. It talks about Mount Lebanon. This is the chief musician up on Mount Lebanon, a psalm of David. It really doesn't tell us what it's about, but it's generally believed that it's about the death of the champion's son. E.B. Myers points out in the Septuagint translation of Psalm says that this is about the divine son and records his victory over the grave. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus in Psalm, or rather in 1 Corinthians 15, O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? He went to the grave and stayed there 3 days, but early on Sunday morning. The Bible says he got up out of the grave and went back to heaven. Somebody need to hear me this morning. So we see that this verse has a deeper significance than just the original thoughts in David's mind. It's a psalm about the song of victory for Jesus Christ. I'm going to sing my song. I don't know about you, but I'm going to sing my song because my song is rooted in the spirit of victory. I already know that I have won the battle. I don't have to fight each day over and over trying to win the battle. God has already handed us the battle. You ought to sing your song. David said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. And you know, when you're praising God, you need to have an expression of yieldness. It needs to be yieldness in your life. You need to let God know that you have seen what God has done for you. It ought to yield something. He said, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And no half-heartedness. I don't come to God halfway. I come to God all the way. Somebody need to help me. It ought to yield a whole heart. But if your heart is still half-hearted, you're still halfway in the church and halfway out the church. Somebody ought to say amen. All you got to do is somebody say or look the wrong way and you out. See you later, half-hearted. It ought to have some kind of yieldness in you. The song of victory or the spirit of victory ought to have something in you. It ought to grow something in you. It ought to bring you closer to God. It ought to make your heart settle. You know, you don't go to bed at night wondering whether or not I'm going to go to church in the morning. Amen. Somebody need to talk to me. Show me a person who's living in spiritual victory, and I'll show you a person who has a yieldness, unreserved, and completeness in their life. They have completely said that I am the Lord. I don't have any doubts about it. Nobody can make me mad. Nobody can make me angry. Nobody can make me leave the Lord. Oh, I don't want to go nowhere because the Lord is there. Amen. You can't make me mad enough to want to leave God. You can't make me angry enough to leave God. You can't frustrate me enough to leave God. Somebody need to help me this morning. That's the reason why so many Christians are not living in victory, is because they are not prepared to praise the Lord with their whole heart. You know, sometimes we wrestle in the church whether or not we sing with a boom boom, and whether we got a fast tempo or a slow tempo, and we worry about all those kind of things. If I got a whole heart, I don't care what tempo they sing in. Say amen. I don't care if they sing songs that long as they are praising God, I'm okay with it because I want to praise God with my whole heart. Amen, if you can. We fight over whether or not we should be singing song this way and singing song that way. The Bible says, praise the Lord. And if you can't praise God with a whole heart, then that's why you worried about whether or not somebody else is singing. Start listening to your own song. Somebody else. If you listening to, you see, when you singing loud enough for yourself, you can't hear everybody else. You gonna get up there, I like this song leader better than I like that other song leader. Well, you know, the song leader's just up here to lead you in song. You gotta go ahead on and start singing for yourself. Somebody say amen. He brought me down. Well, bring him up. Somebody need to help me this morning. God has declared that no flesh shall glory in his presence. And then in 1 Corinthians 1 and 29 and verse in Psalm 50 and 23, he said, whosoever prays glorifies me. God, in other words, said that you can't have desires in your flesh because you can't praise your flesh and praise God at the same time. Let me say that again. You can't praise your flesh and praise God at the same time. And some of y'all looking at me mighty strange. What do you mean by praising your flesh? When you all worried about whether or not the song leader is singing right, you are all in the flesh. And you are all in the flesh. And I don't like the way he sing that song. I don't like the way that song leader sing that song. You're all in the flesh. And you can't praise God because you caught up in what you like and what you don't like. Y'all still out there? I'm trying to help you, you know, when it ought to yield wholeheartedness in you. And it doesn't matter who's singing the song. You ought to be singing the song in your heart. The words ought to move you some kind of way. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. And if you can't sing this morning, just hum along. If you don't know the song, that's all right. Listen to the words. Somebody need to help me. In other words, the true spirit of yieldness leaves no room for glorifying your flesh. It's not all about how you feel and what you think and amen if you can and who you don't like, amen, and what you don't like. It's about glorifying God for just waking you up, bringing you in here, and you don't have to sit sad and silly. Somebody need to help me. I don't know. No, when you singing your song and you singing your song because you have the spirit of victory, it ought to give you some expression of openness. It ought to help you. David says in verse number 1, I will show forth all of your marvelous works, Lord. Lord, you've done so many great, wonderful things in my life. I just want to sing about it. But not only do I want to sing about it, I want to show everybody what you have done for me in my life. Somebody need to help me. Victorious living is not a secret thing. Amen. It's not secretive. I don't have to keep it to myself. I don't have to go around bragging about it. But folk ought to see that God has done something in my life. And I'm going to sing about it. But I need to also show y'all that Lord has done something in my life. Person living in a triumphant life, it ought to be evident. Amen. How you doing? I'm doing all right. David said, the Lord brought me out of the pit. You know, I was in a horrible, miry clay, and he exclaimed, he has put a new song in my mouth. Hey, in Psalm 40 in verse number 3, he said, even praise unto our God, many shall see and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He said, when God's people have God in them and they have a victory, other folk will see and want to come to church. Oh, y'all didn't see, man, like you understand. He said, now, when you got something going on in you, you are going to have to show it because your light is going to shine and other folk is going to see it. And because of that, they're going to trust in the Lord because you trust in the Lord. Say amen if you can. You know, when you go to a new restaurant and you find that the food is good and great, you just want to tell all your family members, amen. And you want to testify and say, girl, and boy, they got the best fried chicken over there you ever heard in your life and seen. And it got a good price. Amen. And you just want to tell everybody. Now that the Lord has done something for you, you ought to want to tell everybody also. when Peter was restored after backsliding and filled with the Holy Spirit, he had to stand up and say to the magistrates in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 20, he said, "We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You know, we've heard and we've seen, and we can't help but tell folk what we've seen and heard. You know, God have done something for you. God made sure that you got the job that you asked for. God made sure that you got the house that you asked for. God made sure that your child got out of jail like you asked it. And God made sure that you got up off your sick bed like you asked it. You ought to want to tell somebody about that. And Peter said, now, we can't help but speak and preach and teach what we have heard and what we have seen, because we need to tell everybody. I'm going to sing my song. You ought to be open about it. Don't hold it back. You know, the only reason why folk don't want to tell nobody nothing is because they're scared that it's not going to last. Somebody else say amen. I don't want to tell nobody I'm a Christian, because today I might be a Christian, tomorrow I might be a sinner. Amen. I might be back where I was yesterday, so I don't want to tell anybody, because I don't want to, quote unquote, knock on wood, jinx it. Amen. If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about knocking on wood. Good on, lean on the Lord. Somebody need to help me this morning. And then when I've got this victory in my life, and I've got this expression of cheerfulness, I'm not walking around all sad all the time. Somebody need to help me. Psalms 9 and verse number 2, David said, "I will be glad and rejoice in thee." I'm going to be glad about it. I'm going to be happy. I'm cheerful about it. The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You know, daily rejoicing is the ornament of Christian character. It's a suitable role for you, for God's choristers. If you're going to be singing about God, you ought to walk around in the clothes of happiness and cheerfulness. You know, nothing wrong, nothing worse than getting a whole bunch of folks singing and they all... I don't know if we want to sing this song this morning. Lord, it ain't the song that I want to sing, but I'm just going to sing because they're making me sing. You know, if you're coming here, you ought to be glad to sing the Lord's song. Yeah, I'm just trying to help y'all out this morning. You know, you ought to be happy about it. Spurgeon said gladness and joy is the appropriate spirit in which to enjoy the goodness of the Lord. There's no other way to do that. Amen, if you can. New baby coming to the world. And if you were really wanting that child, say amen if you can. Yeah, I said if you were really wanting that child. You just want to tell everybody. Walking around with bubblegum cigars and amen if you can. It may not be bubblegum cigars, amen. But you just want to tell everybody that your new child has come into the world. You're cheerful about it and glad about it. And you're joyful. It's the fruit of gladness is the revival of the church. Amen. If everybody get happy about the church, say amen. Amen. We'd have more folks in the pews. Because you'd be telling everybody that you run into. Child, there's something going on. And, you know... Not only ought you be cheerful, but you ought to express it also in thanksgiving. David said, "I will sing praises to the name, O Thou Most High." In Scripture, singing is the evidence of the inward thankfulness. It comes out. You see, if it's inside, it got to come out. Y'all don't hear me. Paul said it like this over in Ephesians 5, 18 through 19. You know this scripture. The Bible said, and be not filled with wine wherein there is excess, but speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. So Paul said, if it's happy on the inside, it ought to come out to the outside. Somebody say amen if you can. You see, a thankful church will be a singing church. Amen if you can. A thankful church will be a singing church. You know, and let me just help you understand. God ain't concerned about how solemn you think you are. There ain't nothing wrong with, you know, somebody say, "Well, Brother Lodge, are you saying it's okay for us to shout?" I don't know. If you feel like it, You ought to let it out. Somebody else say amen. Now some of y'all saying, oh, well, I don't think that way. It's in the flesh. That's what you feel like. And if you don't feel like doing that, don't let your feel like get somebody else feel like. Somebody else say amen. Amen. Because you're all in your flesh. That makes me uncomfortable. We ain't got nothing to do with you. All in the flesh. Worrying about somebody else. That's all in your flesh. Amen. Oh, y'all gonna throw me out of here. That's all right. One of the greatest needs of the hour for us to recapture the song of our victory. We ought to want to sing about how God has delivered us from a long way. You ought to sing about the fact that God brought you out of the juke house into the church house. Somebody need to help me this morning. David concluded this section in verse number 3 by telling us why he was filled with the song of victory. He said, when my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish in that presence. He says, when my enemies are taken away from me, I want to sing about my victory. The Lord has brought me out. And now I'm ready to tell everybody how the Lord brought me out of where I was. I was slapped in drug addiction. I was slapped in alcoholism. Amen. I was slapped in sex addiction. I used to beat my children and my wife. And sometimes I just used to beat up myself. Amen, if you can. But the Lord done delivered me from that. And I just want to sing my song. I don't know about you. I've just got the spirit of victory. And I just want everybody to know that I feel good about what the Lord has done for me. You see, I don't know. And that's my story. I got to tell my story. And I need to, not only do I have that spirit, but I got a story to tell. And I need to tell folk what God has done for me. And David says in verses 4 and 6, he says, for thou hast maintained me right and my right and my cause, and thou didst sit in the throne of judging right. Oh, thy enemies are destroyed and come to perpetual end. Thou hast destroyed cities and their memorial is perished with them. David said, I have a story to tell, and I'm going to tell everybody because I need everybody to know about it. You remember when Jesus pulled a man out of the tombs and he was running around naked and crazy. Amen. And then Jesus brought him to himself and he healed him and made him put his clothes back on. Clothed him in his right mind first. Then he put his clothes back on and Jesus told him, go home and tell your story. I need you to go home and tell somebody what I've done for you. And if God has done something for you, you ought to want to tell everybody your story. Just as we have four I wills in the first two verses, we have four thou has in the second stanza now before us. And David was reciting here God's dealing with the enemies of his soul. He said, God has dealt with those folk who are dealing bad with me. I'll say that again. I know you got folk who are out there trying to bring you down. I know you got folk who are trying to make your demise. I know you have folk who are looking over your shoulder on everything that you do. Somebody say amen. I know that you have folk out there hoping that you will be a failure. I know that you have things that people are trying to do to you to cause you to leave the church. And I know that there are things that folk are trying to do to you to make you doubt that God is with you. But David said, when God is with you, your enemy can't succeed. Amen. So David is reciting how the enemy has been dealt with. He said, first, the Lord rebukes the enemy. Thou hast rebuked the heathen and other nations because you are sitting on the throne of the universe judging rightly. And I always trust in God because God is consistent in his holy character. And because God judges the heathens, or God judges the nation, or God judges the folk who are trying to do God's people wrong, I can have a song of rejoicing. I can tell my story. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. God rebukes first the enemy. And I like the way God does that. God rebukes them first. And I like that because God gives them an opportunity. Even the enemy has a chance to change. Amen. You see, God rebukes them. And rebuke just simply means God said, now you need to straighten up and fly right. Are y'all still out there? Sometimes God has to rebuke us and tell us we need to straighten up and fly right. But then you need to understand that God not only rebukes the enemy, but God, after God gives them the chance to get it right, and they don't want to do right, say amen, God gives them a chance to get it right, and they don't want to do right, the Lord will destroy the enemy. Are y'all still there? In verse number 5, he says, not only did you rebuke them, but you will you have destroyed the wicked. When God has destroyed, he renders them the opposition inoperative. Yeah. Amen. You see, you don't have to worry about them no more. I'll say that again. I remember when the slaves in Texas had been freed and did not get the message. Are y'all still out there? Juneteenth day. They came down on June 19th, and finally the word got down to the slaves in Texas that they had been freed. But they were still operating as slave folk and didn't know that they had been freed. I said, when God destroys the wicked, he renders them inoperative, and sometimes we don't know that the enemy is inoperative, so we still act like they have some kind of oppression over us. Now, if you have turned it over to the Lord, if you have given it to God, and God said that God is going to take care of it, you need to let God take care of it. And you start acting like you have been freed from your enslavement. Somebody need to help me. Otherwise, you will continue to act like you are still oppressed when you have been set free. If God has removed the enemy, you ought to stop acting like you're still under the enemy's thumb. Amen, if you can. Because when God destroys them, he makes them inoperative, and you don't have to worry about them anymore. Amen. As in all of God's mighty acts, God does his work completely and thoroughly, and it is exemplified in the victorious death of Jesus when Jesus got up from the grave. The Bible says that he put the last enemy under his feet. He put death is going to be the last one. And he had power over death. He hadn't gotten rid of him yet, but he still has control. And he said that's the last one that he's going to put there. But he already demonstrated that he has the power to deal with death. Are y'all still out there? In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. And again, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. John, 1 John 3 and verse number 8. Jesus has come to deal with the devil. And y'all mighty quiet. God can deal with the devil. You know, some of us are running around letting the devil feel like the devil is over and controlling us. You know, where I look at the devil like a dog on a chain. Amen. The dog is on the chain. As long as I stay out of the reach of the chain, I can make all kind of faces I want at that dog. But if I get inside where the dog's chain can reach me, then I need to worry. But as long as I stay outside of the dog's chain reach, I don't have to worry about that dog. And that dog can bark and yell and do whatever that dog want to do. It can be just bad, ran up, foaming from the mouth, doing all kind of things, chopping his teeth. I don't care because I'm not going to get close enough to let that dog bite me. Amen. And that's where the devil is. Jesus has put the devil on the chain, and you don't have to worry about the devil. Just stay out of the devil's chain land. But when you go over there playing, you know, jumping, playing, hit, hopscotch, in and out, and one of these days you're going to get bit. Hey, man, you know how you used to do with the dog? You know exactly the dog was on the fence, and you would walk by and just messing with the dog when you were a child, all along the fence, making the dog mad. And then you just coming all along. And when you get down there, you realize that the gate is open. Mama, Lord, help me. Amen. So you can play with the devil if you want to. But you need to realize that at some point the chain link might get you or the fence might be open. But if you stay away from both of those, you're going to be all right because the Lord has already contained the devil. Devil doesn't have any power over you. Stop lying on the devil. The devil is not that powerful that the devil can make you do anything. It's because you want to do it. Wrapped up in the flesh. Somebody else say amen. The story of victory was once and forever spelled out when from the cross, Christ proclaimed that in his word, it is finished. Telelestai, I have accomplished it. It's done. You don't have to worry about it anymore. It's done. He's locked down, locked up. You don't have to deal with the devil if you don't want to. Somebody need to help me this morning. And that ought to make you free. You know, and then God says, not only do I deal with the enemy in such a way that I can contain or destroy the enemy or I can rebuke the enemy, but you know, God has the ability to forget the enemy. And I told you on Wednesday night, those of you who were in there, that God has the power not to know some things. And that kind of may have blew your mind a little bit. God can choose not to know some things. Well, here's one of those examples where God can choose not to know some things. The Bible says that thou hast put out their name forever and forever. And God has chosen literally means that God has blotted out their name forever. And God has chosen not to know their name anymore. Somebody need to help me this morning. The thought is taken from the practice of erasing from the civil registry a family that has been extinct. You know, when your name ain't on the roll no more, somebody will say amen. You wonder, mama and daddy died, and you want to know if your name in the will. Somebody will say amen. Mama and daddy died and everybody come to the reading of the will and everybody just sitting there intensely waiting to hear what mama and daddy had left to them. And everybody's name is called. Get to your name and you say, well, what about me? Your name wasn't on there. They have blotted you out. Forgotten about you. You don't get to get anything. Your inheritance was taken away from you because your name was scratched out. Remember when I was drawing and we used to draw on Mylar. We would draw with Mylar. And Mylar, you draw with ink and there's no way to erase that off. So we take a razor blade and scratch it off and just etch it off so that you could get it out of there and it would never be there anymore. It just eradicated. And we also drew on something else and we would use something that was called an eradicator. You put it over there and it just eradicated. The thing just disappeared. That's what God is doing with your enemy. He's blotting them out. I suggest to you that I would not want to be an enemy of God. Somebody need to help me this morning. Amen. And both is interesting and intuitive to observe that the reckoning of God, sin, death, hell, and Satan are forever dealt with. I say that again. It's forever dealt with. Sin, death, hell, and Satan. And you don't have to worry about that no more. I say it again. Y'all didn't get it. I said sin, death, hell, and Satan has been forever dealt with. Why are you still running around as if they're something that you need to be worried about? Amen. If you've got the victory, why not act like you've got the victory? Somebody need to help me. Stay away from the fence. Stay out of the chain link. And you will be all right. Calvary will never be repeated. It was God's part to banish forever the enemy on the cross of Christ. And ours is to celebrate that victory by faith in living here and now. We don't need to be acting like something else is coming. It's already here. Why aren't you singing your song? How satisfied it is to contemplate the day when we speak. That sin and death and hell has been blotted out forever. David exclaimed, oh, thy enemy destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memories of memorials has perished with them. There's nothing to represent them anymore. In other words, they tore down their statues. Took up their gravestones and threw them away. There's nothing that you have to be worried about Satan anymore. The only reason why Satan is still alive and well is because we keep bringing him up. We keep memorializing him. Oh, y'all looking at me mighty strange. You know, and the reason, how do we memorialize? Well, the devil made me do that. That's the memorializing of Satan. And every time you bring him back up, it just puts him back in somebody's mind and in your mind. But if you will just eradicate that devil, somebody will say amen. You will take away all that power that the devil has, because if you get rid of all of the stuff, you know, when you get mad with your girlfriend or boyfriend, amen. And you took all their stuff, everything that they did, all them love letters that they wrote to you and all those little love notes that they wrote to you. And you took the picture before you scratched out their face. Amen. And if you were in the picture with them, you bent it in half and cut theirs off. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Threw it in the garbage can. And then when you threw it in the garbage can, you put a lighter fluid on it and you burn it up. That's what you need to do with the devil. Stop bringing him up. Stop allowing him to get in your head. He's gone. You are no longer engaged to him. You are no longer married to him. Amen. All of the memorabilia that you have for him, go ahead on and burn it up. Because he's going to burn. Say amen if you can. The story of victory is our story, and we want to tell that story. And are you providing God to be the one who maintains your right and your cause, because he rebukes, destroys, and blots out the attacks of the enemy? You know, during the time of the covenanters, there were those who were disbelievers who they didn't care if it was women or children or whoever, and they wanted to blot them all out. And when they caught an 8-year-old girl and her brother, and the soldiers took them and were getting ready to line them up and said they're getting ready to shoot them. And the little girl looked at the soldier who was in charge and said, "Do you mind if I hold my little brother's hand?" And he said, "Why don't you just say a prayer while you're at it?" And the little girl said, "Well, my brother and I can't pray, but could we sing?" And he, "Yeah, go ahead and sing." So she started off by singing the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And as she began to sing and her little brother began to sing, holding hands there, trembling before the soldiers with guns in their hands, tears began to come down the soldiers' eyes, and each one walked off one by one. "If you please, sir," said the little girl, "I can sing this song. I'm going to sing my song. And I'm going to let the Lord deliver me." And as she began to sing that song, they began to turn them away from their evil ways. And they just left them alone. The Lord had delivered them. Amen, if you can. Deliverance had come through song, singing the 23rd Psalm for those children, the song of victory. And you know, sometimes you just got to sing your song. "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." The little boy was asked, could he recite the 23rd Psalm? And he said, "Yes, I can. The Lord is my shepherd and I don't want for nothing." Wasn't quite right, but he had his theology right. "The Lord is my shepherd and I don't want for nothing. I don't want for anything, because the Lord is my shepherd." I don't know if that's your song. But if you got a song, you ought to sing that song. Somebody need to help me. That's the story. But you say, "Brother Lodge, I don't know the secret of singing my song. I don't know the secret. I know about the spirit of my victory. I know about the story of my victory. But what is the secret to getting to my victory?" I'm glad you asked. Amen, if you can, as I get ready to take my seat. Y'all got time? I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to move to my seat. Amen. The Bible says in verse 9, Psalm 9, verse 7 and 20, the Bible says, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He has perpetuated or prepared his throne for judgment. But in these fear, O Lord, the nations may know thyself to be man." He said, "Lord, I know that you are forever." That's the secret. It's one thing to speak of the spirit of victory and recite the story, but both of them depend on knowing the secret. I got a secret. I don't know about you. I know that the Lord is forever. The secret is that God is with us and for us, and God will be there with us through it. I know that ought to make you happy. You see, he's the God of the righteous. You see, God of righteousness. And if God is the God of righteousness, God can't do nothing wrong. Amen. I'm going to move on. Not only is God the God of righteousness, but he's the God of refuge. You see, when my soul is in trouble, I need somewhere to go hide. hide in the Lord. I need a refuge. I need a stronghold. You know, I feel like I'm drifting away sometimes. Are y'all still out there? I feel like sometimes life is just taking me along and I'm drifting away. And then, and the more that I get away from God's word, the farther I feel like I'm drifting away. And sometimes I feel like I don't have an anchor on some things. And I feel like the world is moving by so fast. And I feel like the rushing waters are just taking me down the river with them. Somebody ought to know what I'm talking about. Amen. And sometimes I feel like I just need a refuge, and because the world is oppressing me and things are going bad in the world around me, and America is going to hell in a handbasket. Somebody else say amen. And I need somewhere to hide myself, and I need a refuge. And the Bible says God is my refuge. I don't have nothing to worry about. Proverbs 18 and verse number 10 says, time and time David has proven the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run it into it and are safe. You know, when things are coming around you and the enemy just look like they're going to tear you down, you ought to run to the Lord. You know, when you start getting back into your old self, run to the Lord. When you think the dog has gotten out the pen, amen. First thing you want to do, you call for mama, right? And you try to make it home. Why? Because home is your refuge. And you know if you can get home, everything's going to be all right. Somebody need to help me. Why don't you run to the church when things go bad in your life? You see, but you run to some of the wrong places. Some of us run out to the bar. Amen. Where everybody know our name. And we feel safe there. And we just want to talk with the barmaid or the bar attender, whoever it is there. I don't know if it's politically correct to say barmaid anymore, so let's just use bartender. Amen? And because we feel safe there, but maybe you need to run to the refuge of the Lord, because God can deliver you from that. Somebody need to help me this morning. I'm trying to bring it to a close. Y'all look like y'all understand. Because God is righteous, and he will maintain our cause no matter what. You see, you go running to folk, and folk will pretend to do that. And when you go to the bar, you know, in the bar, I don't know, when I used to go to the bar, and you stayed there long enough, they'd get, last call. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Never mind. Don't worry about that. That's all right. Never mind. But when you learn to the Lord will never say last call. And one thing about God is God will never say to you, I think you had enough. Can I call somebody to come pick you up? Are y'all still out there? I don't think you need anymore. You are not going to be able to drive on your own. Do you need somebody to come and get you? Do you need somebody to take you? I'm going to call you an Uber. Amen. See, God will, if you run to God, that will never happen. But if you run to the bar, it's going to be a last call. You've had enough. Can you drive on your own? Do you have somebody to take you home? Because I don't think you can do it by yourself. And I'm here to tell you, you can't do it by yourself. If you run to the Lord, you don't have to worry about that. Because God is our refuge. And not only God, a righteous God, but God is also a God of remembrance. Sing praise unto the Lord, which dwell in Zion, declared among the people. His doings is what David said in Psalm 9 and verse 11 and 12. He says, when you need to know that God is a God, you need to know that God is a God who remembers us and will never forget us. You see, you go into that bar, and the bartender will forget your name. I may not know you, or another bartender comes and they don't know who you are. Somebody else say amen. Are y'all still there? Y'all? And I hope I'm not talking to anybody who go to bars, but if I am, amen. You know, one of the subtle attacks of the enemy is to convince us that God has forsaken us. The enemy will tell us that God has forsaken us and God has left us. And I want you to know that God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'm going to close. My last 2 points on here was the God of redemption and the God of recompense. But I'm just going to close with that one because I want you to remember that God will always remember you. God will never forsake you, nor leave you. Amen. God will always know your name. God will never let you down. God will never do you like your friend. You see, you call folk on the phone, amen. You call folk on the phone, amen. And you in trouble and you're trying to get in touch with them on the phone and you calling your kinfolk and I don't feel like talking to him right now. They don't do nothing but cry and whine every time they call me. Hey, I just don't feel like dealing with that right now. You know, you've said that. There are some folk who call you and you look at the phone and you screen it and you hear and you see their name and you say, you don't, you. Swipe it to the side and reject them and they call right back and you. And then finally you turn the phone off and it goes straight into voicemail and you say, hi, this is Gary. Leave me a message if it's important. If it's important. You may call me tomorrow if it's important because I'm tied up right now and I don't have time for you. God will never do you like that because God remembers you. And then, you know, sometimes y'all get those new phones because y'all can't keep them long enough to keep folk. You give that phone number and then next week you got another phone number and they put your name in there and the phone come across there. And then we look at the phone and say, I don't know who that is. That might be a bill collector. I certainly don't want to talk to them. Because your name didn't show up with the number, and we don't know who you are, so we say, well, it's not important. And if they, and then we'll say that famous saying, if it's important, they'll call back. And when they call back, we still don't answer because we don't know who they are. God will never do that to you. I got a song, and I'm going to sing my song. And if my song is not your song, because it's not supposed to be your song. So when I'm singing my song, don't you get mad with me because my song is not your song. And if it gets me a little bit emotional, don't you get upset with me because it's speaking to my soul and not your soul. And if your song is speaking to your soul, then your story is your story and not my story. And I don't know what you've been through this morning. I don't know where you came from this morning. I don't know what you went through last night. I don't know how you felt last night. I know how I felt last night. And I know when the songs are speaking to my heart. And so I'm singing that song with all of my will and all of my might. I'm open about it. I'm telling everybody that God has done something good in my life. I'm telling God and everybody else that I'm glorifying God by singing his praise. So when we come in here, we ought to want to sing songs to God. There's nothing wrong with singing more than one song. And sometimes we got it so laid out, we got to sing X amount of songs and then we stop. Amen. Amen. But a song leader might get up there and feel like the song leader needs to sing a little bit more because something's going on with the song leader. Just go along with it because God is still in the house. Amen. Amen. And I'm just ready to get back home. I hope the preacher don't preach too long because, you know, I'm ready to go. Super Bowl, isn't it Super Bowl Sunday? Oh, man. I done stayed up here too long. I'm sorry. But I'm going to sing my song. And if your team win or if your team lose, I'm going to sing my song. So I'm not really concerned about it. See, I didn't even know it was Super Bowl Sunday until somebody told me. And I don't even know who's in the Super Bowl because I don't follow that. But that's not really interesting to me. Amen. But if that's interesting to you, amen. I'm going to let you go now. Amen. Save me some nachos. I'm going to sing my song. And my song is the song of victory. And if you've got a song of victory, you need to tell everybody that what God has done for you and what God is doing through you. Let us stand while we sing the song of invitation.
Would you be free from your burdens of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you all leave a victory to